Now, have you ever needed to go somewhere? You're not quite sure how to get there. So in the past, we used to have different options. One option was just to talk to someone, right, and say, well, how do you get there? That's pretty good because they can give you landmarks and say at the big tree you turn left or at this certain business you turn right. So that's good. That's one way to get directions to a destination. A second way, pretty much outdated now, is what you call a road map, right? From what I understand, in West Virginia, they don't even print them anymore. You got to go online, from what I understand. So you better grab up a few of them. Maybe they'll be worth some money someday. But you know, on those road maps that you can never fold back the way that they originally were, but it shows side roads and rivers and parks to the new destination. A third, now outdated way as well, is the GPS. You know, the self-contained units. You know, for a while, people would suction cup those to their windshield and use those. I know some still might use them, but it's kind of outdated now. But today, a fourth way, and by far the most popular today, is to use your phone, right? You pull your phone, you could even talk to Siri. You could say, Siri, give me directions too. That's the name of the person that answers you. And I'm convinced that Siri is a city slicker because she never gets it right in the country. She'll take you over some really weird roads if you let her. I guess a fifth way would just be to kind of wing it. You know, so, well, I don't know where I'm going, but I'll find my way. That's dangerous for people like me with such a poor sense of direction because I could be missing for weeks if I didn't have some way to get to my destination. But I have a couple questions for you today. Question number one, what's the best way to get directions to Jesus? Don't answer out loud, but just think about it. What is the best way to get directions to Jesus? Question number two, what is the best way to get directions to be more like Jesus? What is the best way to get directions to be more like Jesus? This morning, we're going to look at the visit of the wise men. The visit of the wise men. Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 to 12. Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 to 12. Now, when I get past Christmas, I really start thinking a lot of times about the wise men. Here it is, verse 1 of chapter 2. Now, when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him. When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, in Bethlehem of Judea. For thus it is written by the prophet, and thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel. Then Herod, when he had privately called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search diligently for the young child. And when ye have found him, bring me word again that I may come and worship him also. When they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east, went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And then when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way. This morning we're going to spend just a little bit of time looking at the wise men. And then there's going to be one specific application. And then there's going to be one very specific challenge that I have for everybody here today. The visit of the wise men. First of all, the timing of the visit. The timing of the visit. Let me tell you, the night of Jesus' birth, most likely the star appeared that night. And the wise men who were possibly 1,000 miles away. Now, there's lots of suggestions of where the wise men may have come from, but let's say 1,000 miles away. They'd have to travel a long time to get to Bethlehem. Would you agree with that? So, the timing was a bit later, after Jesus' birth. Now, when the wise men come in, the Bible says in verse 11, and when they, that's the wise men, were come into the house. Where was Jesus born? He was born in a stable, right? So we know that it was not the night of his birth. It was sometime later. In addition to that, it says when they come in, they stood over where the young child was in verse 9. In verse 11, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother. Now, that's a whole different word in the Greek. It's like paideon. It's a young child instead of a newborn baby. The newborn baby word is brephos. It's a whole different word. So we went from a baby to a young child. So it was sometime later. And remember in this story, verse 7, Herod, what did he do? He inquired of them diligently. The wise men inquired diligently what time the star appeared. And then what did he do after that? When the wise men did not come back through Jerusalem but went another way, he slew all the babies in the Bethlehem area, 2 years old and younger. So you know what that tells me? That the wise men probably came some 2 years or so after Jesus was born. So first of all, the timing of the visit. Second, the visitors. Who were these guys? Who were these guys? Well, they were wise men from the east, according to verse 1. Wise men, the actual word is magi, magi. These folks were scholarly specialists. They were the up-and-inners. They were the smart of society, and they studied astronomy and astrology. So they studied the stars. That was their expertise, it seems. Now, they were probably Gentiles, Gentiles of high position. They probably had lots of money. Now, you think about this for a moment. Who was the message of Jesus' birth first proclaimed to? The shepherds, right? The shepherds were Jews, low in society, pretty much the outcast, about as low as you can get. But Jesus proclaimed his birth to them first through the angels, right? Now, right now, you got some up-and-inners. These were wise men. They were magi. They were Gentiles. Gentiles, not Jews, most likely. They were rich. They were the high in society. But you know what? That kind of ties in a nice, neat bow for me. Luke chapter 2 and verse 10, it says, "And the angel said unto them," that's the shepherds, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy." Here it is. "Which shall be to what? All people." Aren't you thankful that when Jesus came and was born in Bethlehem, he came for the Jews and the Gentiles as well? Now, when the wise men came, it was probably a pretty big entourage with camels, lots of servants. They may have come from Parthia, that's just an idea, northeast of Babylon. That would be about 900 to 1,000 miles from Jerusalem. Now, the trip alone would have taken probably 3 to 4 months. But I believe that something held them up. For some reason, they didn't come till about 2 years later. And here's something. Are you ready for this? Now, we even sing, "We three kings of Orient are," right? Do you know how many kings there were? How many magi? How many wise men there were? We don't know. You see, the reason they come up with three is because there was three different gifts given. There could have been six. There could have been 16. There could have been two. As long as it's plural, we really do not know. The wise men, the visit of the wise men. First of all, the timing, approximately 2 years after the birth of Jesus. Secondly, the visitors. They were wise men from the east that studied the stars. Thirdly, the purpose of the visit. Why did the wise men come? Well, they tell us in verse 2, when they ask, it says, "Where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen a star in the east," and what? "And are come to worship him." In verse 11, when they see the young child and Mary, his mother, they fell down and what? Worshipped him. In verse 11, they also presented them gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. You see, the purpose of the visit was primarily to worship this Savior, to worship this King that they knew about. Now, the gold that they gave might represent the deity of Christ. The frankincense, which is basically a fragrant incense, may have been for the fragrance of life. Isn't Jesus the fragrance of life? And lastly, the myrrh might represent his sacrifice and his death. You know, myrrh was used for embalming. So this probably was all looking forward to the mission of Jesus. Because the mission of Jesus didn't end at a manger in Bethlehem. It went all the way to the cross and to the crucifixion when he paid for the sins of the whole world, and then to a borrowed tomb and resurrection back to the Father. That's a good place to say amen. Say amen. Now, these gifts that were given by the wise men, it was also very practical. Because what? They were warned to go into Egypt, right? They were a poor family. How would they have made it into Egypt without the gold, the frankincense, and the myrrh that was given to them by the wise men? You know, these wise men, they may have known that a king slash Messiah was born because of the Jewish scholars that might have migrated to the east where they lived. Now, these were Jews, and they may have had an old scroll of the Old Testament scriptures that may have included, in Numbers 24, verse 17, Balaam made a prophecy. And part of that prophecy is, there shall come a star out of Jacob, and a scepter shall rise out of Israel. So they may have known that scripture, and that's why when they saw the star, something's up. A king is born. The visit of the wise men, first of all, the timing of the visit, about 2 years after birth. Second, the visitors, Gentile, rich, up-and-inners from the east, studiers of the stars. Third, the purpose of the visit, primarily to worship Jesus. Fourthly, who was troubled by their visit? If you look at Scripture, look at verse 3. When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. You say, why would Herod be troubled? Wasn't he king? Well, the Roman Senate allowed Herod to be called king because he was over that area. But Herod was a ruthless man. He was a ruthless man, as demonstrated by killing all of the male children 2 years and under in the Bethlehem area. Listen to this. Listen to this. He was a half-breed Jew because he was an Edomite. He was descended from Esau. And listen, he was a ruthless murderer. He had his own wife and her two brothers slain because he suspected them of treason. He was married at least nine times, in order to fulfill his lust and strengthen his political ties. And you see, when Herod heard that a king was born, like, whoa! I mean, he's the kind of guy that feels threatened by that. And he's like, you know, I got to do something. So he was troubled. But it also says all of Jerusalem was troubled with him. It's kind of like, okay. Because to find out where Jesus was to be born, Herod called like the chief priests, the scribes, the religious leaders of the day. And they said, oh. And they went to another prophecy in Scripture and said, well, it's Bethlehem. It's got to be Bethlehem. Micah chapter 5 and verse 2. And you would think, you know, Jerusalem and Bethlehem were only about 6 miles apart. 6 miles apart. You'd think that the religious leaders in Jerusalem, having heard this, what the wise men said, don't you think 6 miles, which would only take maybe 2 or 3 hours of travel to get there, maybe, don't you think they would have walked to Bethlehem to check this out? But they didn't. They decided to stay troubled instead of checking out the Messiah. The visit of the wise men, first of all, the timing, about 2 years after the birth of Jesus. The visitors, Gentiles, rich, from the east, studiers of the stars. The purpose of the visit, to worship this newborn king. They brought the gifts. Fourthly, those troubled by the visit, Herod and the people of Jerusalem. And lastly, the directions for the visit. The directions. How did they get all the way from 900 to 1,000 miles away to the east, all the way to Bethlehem? Well, first of all, we're told that there was a star in verse 2, saying, "Where is he that is born King of the Jews? For we have seen what? His star in the east." Remember, that was a fulfillment of Old Testament prophecy in Numbers. "There shall come a star out of Jacob." So that brought them to Jerusalem. But what about prophecy? Prophecy. Did that provide direction to the wise men? It says when Herod called the religious leaders and the scholars, they referenced Old Testament prophecy, didn't they? Micah chapter 5, I'll read that to you. "But thou, Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me, that is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting." So first of all, the star brought them to Jerusalem. Secondly, the Old Testament prophecy brought them from Jerusalem to Bethlehem. But guess what happened after that? The star reappeared. The star, the same star that was connected to Old Testament prophecy and the birth of the Messiah, it reappeared. In verse 9 it says, "When they had heard the king," that is the wise men, "they departed, and lo, the star which they saw in Jerusalem went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was." So that star reappeared and then took them specifically to the house where Jesus was. And lastly, what about directions to get back home? It says in verse 12, "And being warned of God in a dream, that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way." So the star brought them to Jerusalem, God's star. The Old Testament prophecies brought them from Jerusalem to Bethlehem area. The star reappeared to take them and to guide them, to give them directions to where Jesus was. And then lastly, the dream from God said, "Don't go back to Herod." Now, you know what kind of person Herod was? Herod may have even had the wise men killed. Really? So that word of the newborn king and the Messiah would not spread any further. So the visit of the wise men, the timing, approximately 2 years after the birth, the visitors, Gentiles, rich from the east, astronomers and astrologers. Third, the purpose, to worship the Lord. Fourth, those troubled by the visit was Herod and all Jerusalem. And number five, the directions for the visit. Ultimately, God and the scriptures led these wise men to Jesus. So here's the application. Are you ready? Everybody awake, alert, enthusiastic. Say, I'm ready. Here's the application. As God used the Bible, the scriptures, to bring wise men to Jesus, listen to this. God also wants to use the Bible to bring us to Jesus. Let me say that one more time. As God used the Bible, the scriptures, to bring wise men to Jesus, God also wants to use the Bible to bring us to Jesus. Now, that first step coming to Jesus is known as salvation. Salvation. But how's a person saved? It's described in the Bible, right? It tells us how to be saved. It starts at a point, it says, Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." So we have a problem that we got to deal with, because sin cannot go to heaven. You cannot go to heaven as a sinner. Something has to happen. And the Bible tells us in Romans chapter 6 and verse 23, "For the wages of sin is death." So if you get what you deserve as a sinner, if I get what I deserve as a sinner, it's death. But then it goes on and says, "But the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus." Aren't you thankful for that? The gift. You know, the Bible goes on to say in Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. In the verse we love, John 3:16, for God so loved the world, that's the people of the world, that he gave his only begotten son, that's Jesus, that whosoever, that's us, believeth in him, should not perish, but have everlasting life. You know, you say, preacher, how do you know that? How do you know how to be saved? Because there's a lot of debate about how to be saved. Some would say you work your way to heaven. Some would say you were baptized to go to heaven. Some would say we just be good and all your good works. That'll add up. The Bible says we put our faith and trust in Jesus. So just like the wise men who were led to Jesus by Scripture, fulfilled prophecy in Scripture, you and I are led to Jesus in salvation because of the words of the Bible. And therefore, I can put my head on my pillow at night and say, you know what, I know where I'm going when I die because I did what the Bible said to be saved. I put my faith and trust in Jesus. I meant it from my heart. I asked him to forgive me. I believe Jesus died on the cross for me and resurrected back to life as the Son of God. Therefore, I know I'm a child of God. How about an amen out there? Amen. So I know that. I know that. But what about, doesn't Scripture help us even draw closer to God? You know, one of the objects of the Christian life is, the Bible says, to be more and more conformed to the image of Jesus. And do you know how we become more and more conformed to the image of Jesus once we are saved? It's in the Bible. Directions to be more like Jesus are found in the Word of God. You know, this is such an amazing book. This is not a novel. This is not a short story. It's got a lot of pages in it. This is different than anything that's ever been written. These are the very words of God, and they tell us how to be saved, and they tell us how to be more like Jesus. So the application of the message today, just as the wise men found Jesus through the prophecies of Scripture and the star that God brought to them, how do we find Jesus? Through the Word of God. How do we become more like Jesus? Through the Word of God. Can I just read a few scriptures about the Word of God and how powerful it is? Listen to this. Psalm 119, 105. I'll read these real quick, okay? Psalm 119, 105. Thy word, the Bible, is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. It says in Psalm 119, verse 11, this same Bible, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Talks about studying this word. 2 Timothy chapter 3 verses 15 to 17, and that from a child thou hast known, what? The holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture, everything in this book, is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, tells us what to believe, for reproof, it tells us when we're wrong, for correction, it tells us how to straighten up and fly right, and for instruction in righteousness, how to live a righteous life, is all found in the book. That the man of God may be perfect or mature, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. One more verse, Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12. It says, for the word of God is quick, that means alive, and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. You know what? When you start reading the word of God, if you're not right with God, you figure out that you're not right with God. You see, just like the scriptures, the Old Testament prophecies led the wise men to Jesus, this same Bible leads people to Jesus in salvation, and it leads a child of God. If we spend time studying and reading the Word of God, it will lead us to look more and more like Jesus. Now, I'm not talking about physically, oh, I have the nose of Jesus. I'm talking about I have the thoughts of Jesus. I look at people the way Jesus does. I do what the Lord wants me to do because I'm on a mission, just like Jesus was when he came to this earth. You know what Jesus was mostly concerned about in his ministry on this earth? Doing what the Father wanted him to do. I would say this is a pretty important book, wouldn't you? Can I tell you, the more of this book that we pour into our lives, the more we will be like Jesus. The more we will please the Lord. So we looked at the wise men. They were led to Jesus through the Old Testament scriptures and by the star, ultimately by God, but the scripture had a big part in it. How are we led to Jesus? This is the application. Through the Bible, it tells us how to be saved. And if you're here today and you're not saved, there's nothing in this world I could more highly recommend than trusting Jesus as your Savior. I've never heard one single soul that truly got saved that said, you know what, preacher, I regret that. I mean, when I trusted Jesus, he gave me purpose. He gave me peace. He gave me a reason to live. And he gave me a wonderful future to look forward to. And it's all found in the directions in this book on how to be saved. But you know what? Most people here today, you'd say, I'm a Christian. Absolutely. I can tell you when I got saved. I can tell you what I prayed. I know I've trusted Jesus. I asked him to forgive me my sins. I believe Jesus died. But we don't seem to have much time to spend in the book. We're not going to look and think and talk and be like Jesus a whole lot in the image of Jesus if we don't spend a lot of time in this book. And let me tell you, you'll never exhaust the resources of this book. Never. Here's my challenge. We're about ready to turn over into a new year, right? Y'all know what year it is? 2026. Now, granted, I'll probably write 2025 for a while. You know, maybe about February I'll figure it out that we done turned into a new year. But I want to give you a really specific challenge. If you know Jesus as your Savior, this is to be our book. This is to be our guidebook. This is what's to give us direction to be more and more like Jesus. I'm going to challenge you to spend more time in the Word of God. Back there on that table where the manger is. Now, I told you it's going to be really specific. It's between you and God. But back there next to where the manger is, on that welcome center table, there's two different reading guides for 2026. One of them will get you through the Bible in 1 year. So it tells you what to read. I believe that's the one. I looked at several of them, so I'll make sure I got it straight. But I believe it's got like 25 readings per month. That's great. Because in most months, there's 30 days, so that gives you 5 days to catch up in case you get behind. But if you follow that month by month and day by day and check off on that thing, you can read the whole Word of God in 1 year. Don't you think that's a good thing? And for the really energetic bunch, there's one reading guide back there that'll take you all the way through the Bible in 6 months. You can get through the Bible in 6 months. So I encourage you. We're still going to sing. We're going to have a hymn of invitation here in a moment. And I'm going to challenge you that if God has spoken to your heart about reading the Bible, it'd be a good idea to come to the altar. Because I guarantee you make up your mind you're going to start reading the Bible in 2026. I'm going to follow that God. The devil will throw everything he has at you to stop you from doing it. Because he knows that the more time you spend in this book, the more you'll be like Jesus. So as we sing, I'm going to encourage you, come forward. If God has spoken to you, say, you know what, I could do better at reading my Bible. This isn't necessarily by coming to the altar, an acceptance of saying, I'm going to read my Bible through in a year. But it's that God spoke to my heart, and I need to spend more time in the Bible. And if you're here and you've never trusted Jesus, this Bible tells you how to be saved. You can have your best new year ever. By trusting Jesus. If you've never trusted Jesus as your Savior, if you're not 100% sure that if you died today, you'd go to heaven, you can be sure when you leave this church by doing what the Bible says, by putting your faith and trust in Jesus. If that's you, I'll be standing somewhere down front as we sing here in a moment. You come forward and say, "Preacher, I want to be saved. I'd love to spend part of my afternoon talking to you about trusting Jesus as your Savior, answering any questions you might have, and praying with you, and you can be saved, be born again. Know that heaven is your home today before you leave this place." The wise men's story, isn't that a wonderful story? It really is. What guided them? The Word of God. What can guide us? The Word of God. Does it have the place in your life that it ought to have? Let's bow for a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your Bible. Lord, I just don't know what we'd do without your Bible. I pray, Lord, that you'll help each one of us, Lord, to spend more time in your word. Speak to our hearts, Lord. May it not be, "Oh, yeah, I know I need to spend more time in the Bible." But, Lord, may the day be the day that we draw a line in the sand and say, "You know what? I'm not only going to say I need to be in the Bible, I'm going to be in the Bible. I'm going to start reading the Bible. I'm going to start reading it such that I'll read it in a year, perhaps." Lord, just help us, Lord, to love you and to appreciate you more every day. And Lord, to appreciate your Bible and make room for this Bible in our daily routine. Lord, we love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.